It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, closet dwellers and closet busters. It's me, Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, and we are back in the Coming Out Lounge. It has been a month of pride celebrations and interviews. I'm so excited that we have doubled up and hopefully brought you a lot of really powerful and great stories to help you stay energized, to help you move yourself forward, and to feel empowered about wherever you are in the journey. And I promise you that this last interview of the month is going to be one that you will want to probably listen to again and again, because it's not often that we hear the other side of the story. And what I mean by that is the other side of the story in the closet, where the spouse of someone who has come out gets to share. And I'm an equal opportunity host here. I really like to share these stories as well as the other stories that are going on. And it's really, really hard to pull yourself through and believe in yourself and your life and everything else once those two little words have been uttered, whether it's I'm gay, I'm bisexual, I'm queer, I'm transgender, whatever it may be. And for some spouses, it leads into a space of feeling really betrayed and hateful and really finding themselves in a place of being unable to move past the hurt. For others, well, they actually can step into their best and find a way to cope. And then in some days that turns to understanding and moving forward. But in between those two, I hate to say extremes, but they kind of are polar extremes, are a lot of people that fall in the middle. And what I'd like to say to that is you're going to find your journey where you find your journey. And there is no right way to be a spouse who's had a spouse come out any more than there is any way to come out of the closet. So today's guest is one of those spouses, and we just kind of bumped into each other, so to speak. She's the first person I've found that actually has taken this journey and turned it into some really powerful work, where she is working with spouses whose spouses have come out, where she's working with the couples as they go through this, where she's actually become a licensed therapist doing this. And I'm not saying she's the only one, but our paths cross for a very powerful reason, and she's a beautiful person. I've already learned that through a couple of conversations I've had with her. So at this time, I would just like to say, Rebecca Hames, welcome to the Coming Out Lounge, and thank you for being willing to come and share your story and give your insights from the other side of the closet.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Thanks for asking me to be on. I'm really excited to be here and share my story. And
absolutely. So, Rebecca, you are in the process of actually building your practice right now as a therapist, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's kind of been driven by your own story, isn't that right?
Yeah. My now ex-husband came out, and we were already in therapy just for, you know, issues in the marriage when he came out. And we stayed in therapy. We stayed in couples therapy. We each got individual therapists. And because of that experience, I think that, you know, led me into wanting to become a therapist and help this population myself. Mm-hmm. I found it tremendously valuable.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the questions I get asked most often is, okay, well, should we do therapy or should we do coaching? And I say yes and yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because there's differences to the approaches as well as a lot of similarities. So why don't you, you know, talk a little bit about why therapy works so well for you in your journey?
Mm-hmm. Well, the therapy for me gave, you know, my own journey and hope, what I'm offering to my clients is a safe place to just be where they are in the process. So just like the spouse who came out, the straight spouse also has their own process that they have to go through.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes that doesn't look really pretty. Sometimes it looks like really angry. And a lot of people confuse that for homophobia, and they get told not to be so angry, or why are you still sad, or whatever emotion that they have going on. I provide a place that they can just be in that, and we can explore that and try to see what needs to happen to move forward from that. So that was most helpful to me. And I hope I'm offering the same thing to my clients now.
Well, and I love that you bring up the piece that people kind of assume that it's some piece of homophobia that's showing up. And I've heard that numerous times. I've had clients that I work with that I'm helping, you know, catapult them forward, say, oh, they're just so homophobic. And I'm like, I don't believe that's always 100% true.
Yeah.
They're confused. They're hurt. They've been betrayed. And what it is a lot of confusing emotions are suddenly colliding. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, life as they know it is being completely undone.
Yeah.
And anybody who's in that frame of mind, and I try to help my clients realize they're actually in the same space that you are. You just may not see it. Mm-hmm. You've been struggling with this for a while, or maybe you haven't. You know, I was just working with a client today who this has really showed up for him just in the last few years of his life. And suddenly he's like, wow, this is happening. I don't know how I'm going to do this, all this stuff. I'm like, yes, but you got to realize that when this actually does, if that's the direction you go, your spouse is going to be in the same space. So we do a lot of work talking about that, how much the parallels are there. So is that what you started to realize too? Is that a lot of what your husband was going through started to become very similar to what you were going through?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think it's different in every case. In my case, my husband came into the marriage not aware of his sexuality. So after about 5 years of marriage, maybe 3 years of marriage, he kind of started questioning that, and it was new to him. So we were pretty going through the process at a similar pace.
Yep.
Some couples, you know, if the husband or wife comes into the marriage already knowing their sexuality, they've already gone through a lot of the process ahead of time. So the spouse might be going through what their spouse had gone through years ago or whenever they went through it. So yeah, it's a really interesting parallel that happens. And the other thing I see happen a lot is the straight spouse is so protective, and a lot of, even if they're angry, even if they're hurt and betrayed, feel very protective of their coming out spouse. So kind of helping them come to terms with that and bridge that, because they almost help the spouse to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that quite a bit too. In fact, I just went through a couple of experiences in the last couple of weeks where two of my spouses came out and their spouse, and they actually had the reaction of, okay, well, you know, this is a huge blow, but both of the straight spouses are like, okay, so now how do we do this? And, you know, how do we tell people, and where do we go? And it was very, yes, they're both hurt and angry, but at the same time, there's this space of, okay, self-protection, obviously, that's a biggie that shows up a lot. Mm-hmm. But there is that piece of, okay, how do I care, even in this anger, for this person? Now, a lot of cases, that isn't what it is. And then I can totally understand that too. And that's where I think when I see that happening, especially on my side of the fence, if I see someone come to my work as a coach that's very angry that they're coming out and they feel like they deserve everything, I actually will not work with them. I will refer them to therapy because I want them to go work through the anger pieces first. And because there's something underneath that, that I'm not prepared to work with them. Yes, I can see it, but if it's really, really heavy duty, heavy handed, and they have this entitlement feeling, it's just, there's so much more underneath this that I'd rather they go get some, you know, true therapy work done first before they can even step through. And if they never come back to me, that's okay, because therapy may be the better route for them.
Sure.
So when you are working with your clients, I mean, I know you're probably like me, you see the gamut of stuff. What are some of the, you know, obvious things that show up when a spouse goes, okay, he or quote, she has known this? What's the hurt that really shows up the most? Is it the, why didn't they say it? Is it the, I just wish you would have been honest with me? What's the most common things that show up?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things, but one of the most common I get is, you know, why didn't they tell me? And is everything that they told me a lie? Mm-hmm. And kind of coming to terms with, like, what is their reality? They were living, he or she, the straight spouse, thought they were on one path and thought they knew everything there was to know about their spouse. And then this big disclosure comes out, and it's just from there, it's the biggest thing I see is like, is everything a lie?
Right.
Who can I trust? What can I trust? Not just the spouse, but they question everything in their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've also seen the straight spouses start to question friends, yeah. relationships, family, and they begin to feel very isolated, which again Absolutely. Is a very similar parallel to what someone who's been hiding in the closet can feel. I mean, I remember when I was going through this, I swore to God I was the only heterosexual guy that was doing that, even though I knew that a lot of the guys that I was messing around with were also married, but they weren't necessarily coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't wrap my head around, wait, there's other people out here that are in the same world as me, until I got on the other side of the closet door. And as I started to mingle in amongst the LGBTQ community, I'm like, oh my God, they're everywhere. I wasn't the only one at all, you know? And of course, then every story was different too.
Yeah.
So when a spouse is like questioning all that, how do you start to help them break past that fear, that angst, that anxiousness of, you know, why didn't they tell me? That, I will have to say, that is the hardest piece, I think, for many straight spouses to get past mm-hmm. when they feel that betrayal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it comes down to, it depends on how the straight spouse kind of came into the knowledge. So whether it was disclosed or discovered.
Yep.
So that makes a really big difference in terms of how the straight spouse is going to come to terms with, why didn't they tell me? Because if it was discovered, that's a different, it's an added layer to it. If it's disclosed and you sit down and they have a conversation, yes, the hurt, all the feelings are still there, but it just signals that there's open, honest communication that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just this one piece was
missing.
Kept. Yep. And then it's just working with the straight spouse in terms of talking about helping them understand, what pieces of you do you keep from people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's pieces of all of us. It's our private self.
Yep.
And so helping them understand that in most cases, it's not done to intentionally hurt. They actually, a lot of times what I hear is the gay spouse thinks that they're actually helping the straight spouse by not disrupting their life and keeping the secret.
Well, and I think also a lot of, you know, and this is where I always get the backlash. So I'm already preparing. But I also like to encourage, you know, people to think about the time frame that this was happening for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people even argue right now, well, no matter what, they shouldn't have done it. Yes, I understand that. But there are times in our history where it wasn't safe to go beyond this. And I feel like about the time I was doing this was when things were starting to finally break open, where people were finally, I mean, Ellen DeGeneres was just coming on the scene. There was a lot more media stuff. We were still mid-80s, early 90s. And of course, you know, AIDS breakout was just beginning to happen. So there was a lot of stuff. But even as I say that, there's a lot of stuff happening even today
mm-hmm.
that I know is keeping people in the closet from living that truth in a mixed orientation marriage, or still causing people to step into a marriage that is going to be built on, you know, betrayal and distrust. And sometimes it is the societal pressure that does this. So I'm curious, what was, if you feel like answering the question, what was kind of the reason, you know, you said your husband really hadn't discovered his sexuality when he came into the marriage. So was it more of just he had a sexual awakening that occurred?
Yeah, that's what I would describe it as. You know, this is my opinion of his experience. I don't know if he'd agree with this part or not, but he was in an acting class that I think led him to a place where he could just explore himself in a way that he never had. And yeah, I would describe it as a sexual awakening. And, you know, I could feel it in the marriage. I could feel tension. I knew he was unsettled.
Right.
I didn't know exactly what it was until the day that he, you know, and at first he couldn't even say the words, "I am gay." He said, you know, "I'm struggling with my sexual orientation," I think were the exact words he mm-hmm. said to me. But the minute he said it to me, so many things fell into place and it made a lot of sense.
And I think that's part of it too, that a lot of spouses, when they finally hear the words, even though the shock is there
mm-hmm.
and suddenly they're like, okay, what the fuck about me now? What?
Yeah.
But there is almost always this, oh, now some of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't want to admit that, I think most spouses would say, yeah, things begin to make sense really, really quickly in that moment. And it may not be just that moment. It would be the moments over the years, you know?
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Looking back, it, so much made sense then. And just like, it's, oh yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, I think probably, and you know, I don't know what she would say either, but because we don't really talk much at this point, I think one of the, probably the biggest clues was I used to get undergear underwear magazines all the time and order like these outrageous, you know, thongs and stuff. And of course I was getting it just because it was like, oh, the guys in the catalog were so hot, you know, and the bulges and everything else. And, but it's, there's usually clues. And I've had clients who, you know, as you said, they've been discovered versus disclosing. And that's really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because you as a spouse then have to contend with, okay, the discovery, and then you have to contend with, okay, how do I approach this? And what if this isn't what I think it is? And then there's something else that shows up because now I'm accusing my spouse of something, which mm-hmm. oftentimes the other spouse, the gay spouse or bisexual or whatever spouse will deny.
Deny, exactly.
And so then now there's a wedge that's showing up in the relationship. Not that there's not a lot of wedges that show up in relationships, just in any relationship. But now there's like this weird space that's, I've accused you of something and you're going to deny, or I'm accusing you of something, which all I have is what proof I have. And it becomes the normal, you know, breakdown of a relationship. Quite honestly, people try to wrap this in like a, you know, LGBTQ wrapper, which is where it starts. That is it's the environment. It's the thing that caused it, so to speak. But then if they strip that away, they'll see that this is really about truth and betrayal and honesty and integrity more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
The sexual orientation just happens to be the catalyst oftentimes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And in terms of the discovery, and then you're right, typically then the gay spouse will deny,
yep.
sometimes turn it around. This is what makes it really difficult for a straight spouse. Then they'll turn it around. Why are you accusing me of such a, like almost gaslight the straight yep. spouse.
Exactly.
Which just adds to when the gay spouse finally does come out, just adds to the, it's just years or however long they've been together then of shame and guilt mm-hmm. on the straight spouse's end that, you know, therapy is really helpful to undo all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, one of the things that I find a lot in my world is mostly men. I've worked with probably, I don't know, a dozen women at this point, but mostly men come to me because of, you know, they can relate, you know, and I'm sure you find that same thing. It's like yeah. women probably come to you because they can relate. But a common thing that shows up is when I start questioning, well, you know, how do you know you're gay? And, you know, give me, because I want to make sure they know exactly why they are. You know, there's got to be more than just, oh, the sex is great. Well, I think guys can have sex with guys and that doesn't necessarily make them gay. They just enjoy a sexual experience and they move on. I think there are guys that can do that probably a lot more than we want to believe, but I think there are.
Mm-hmm.
As I get underneath things and then they're like, well, you know, I really like the company. I like the intimacy I feel. I like the, you know, quote unquote, you know, comfort that I can have with that, the camaraderie. Then I start to go, okay. And then I always ask, can you see yourself having a relationship with a man? If that's a yes, then I know, okay, we're pretty much, we're going down the gay rabbit hole right now. And so here we go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that often shows up in that is when I get into, well, tell me about your sexual, you know, your sexual energy and the energy with your spouse. I'm always amazed by how many times I hear, oh, well, we haven't had sex in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that becomes a very interesting space to play in because I almost always ask, so do you think this is why you have suddenly discovered this or did you know this? So I'm curious, what do you find when those subjects come up? Because it's pretty common.
Yeah. I would say most of the straight spouses that I work with have been in sexless marriages, which mm-hmm. is, I forget the exact definition, but maybe it's like two or three times
yep.
or less a year or something like that. So a lot are in sexless marriages. And I, you know, from where I sit with my clients and through my own personal experience, it was sex was not a priority in the marriage. There are, you know, in a lot of the marriages I see, there are a lot of things that work really well in the marriage.
Yep.
But if you look at the, you know, all the different components that make up a marriage, the sex piece is kind of the big signal that something's really wrong here because there a lot of them are in sexless marriages.
Yeah. And on both sides of the fence. And that's the thing that I hate to use the word fascinates me, but it does, because I've had my gay guys say, yeah, I'm not opposed to the sex. I would like to have sex, but they're like, she doesn't seem interested. I had one guy that actually, or one gal who said, yeah, I haven't had sex with my husband in 7 years and he's just not interested. And this was the lesbian coming out. And so I think this is one of those things where, without pointing the fingers, this is actually something that oftentimes could be the signal that if we can catch this now, you may not have to go through years after years after years. It's like, let's address this, but it's so scary about sex.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then again, a lot of my experience has been the straight spouse met their partner young, got married maybe somewhat younger than other people, and can kind of rationalize a sexless marriage, you know, come up with reasons, either religious reasons or, you know, just, oh, this is just how sex and marriage is. It's not like it is in the movies or whatever, you know, people can really rationalize that. But I think it's a signal to pay attention to in marriages, you know, and just if you're in a sexless marriage, it doesn't mean one of those partners is gay, it's a signal that something's off in the marriage.
Yeah. And it could be a cry for, we need to have a conversation. I mean, I've had a couple of clients who have said that's what kind of got them ready to kind of disclose what was going on. And I said, and you know, I'm not gay. I'm like, okay, so then what are you? And one guy jokingly said, I'm just horny. I'm like, okay, well, I get that. But you know, and we delved into it. And at the end of the day, what ended up happening for this particular couple is they ended up stepping into a polyamorous relationship where it was about, they were really good together and they were good together for all the things except the sexual piece. And then somebody was brought in, and it was interesting because there was actually, he was bisexual. So there was a polyamorous female in the relationship and a polyamorous male in the relationship. And the wife was very comfortable with this. And she almost felt relieved because she's like, yeah, I've never been a big sex person. It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I don't enjoy it, but it's just, it's not something that I need. And I enjoy it when it happens, but, and it was so fascinating to be in that particular, you know, couple, triple, quadruple thing. I never spoke to the other two, but I knew enough about the other woman and the other guy to see how they came to center. And I think this is something that gets missed. And I think what I'm hearing, and without even having said it, is sometimes we make the assumption that, okay, a spouse comes out, everything is done.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think that was, personally speaking, my own personal journey, that our couples therapist really exposed a lot of new ideas to me and my husband at the time about, you know, these are your options. And it wasn't just divorce or monogamy. So, you know, and we looked at it all, and what we decided that worked for us was divorce. And that was absolutely the right decision for us, but that's not the right decision for everyone. And again, I think working with a coach or a therapist can help you figure out, and especially help the straight spouse figure out, what do they need? What do they want? That this, yes, this has turned your world upside down, but what steps do we need to take to rewrite your world?
Right. And that's the piece, is rewriting the world. And I agree, therapy or coaching, it's going to work with whoever it's going to work for. And,
absolutely.
And one of the things I advocate, in fact, when Rebecca and I were first talking about her being on the show, I said to her that I advocate that couples therapy be part of the coming out journey. Not just, yes, somebody can be working with me, but there needs to be something for the spouse going on. And there needs to be some couples therapy that happens, even if it's only a few sessions. If you want to have some modicum of, you know, decency between one another, because you're unraveling something that's been put together for as many as 20, 30 some odd years, or as few as two or three. You know, I have a client right now who was married for 6 years. He didn't come out until after he was divorced, because that wasn't really what was going on for him. There was something that happened on the wife's side that didn't work out. And then once he got free, he was like, I'm exploring. And that's what he is. He's exploring right now. He doesn't know where he's landing on the spectrum of sexuality. What he knows is right now he happens to be dating a guy and he's enjoying that. But he's very open to, you know, this is where I am right now in my path. And I think because of so many things that you and I both know show up between religion and belief systems and all this stuff, mm-hmm. we suddenly seem to drop the hammer on, fine, we're done and out. And that's not always the best solution. I remember my wife just, and I hate bringing this memory up because it's always one of the more hurtful ones, standing there with tears rolling down her eyes going, can't we just make this work somehow?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I knew in my heart that I really wanted to say yes, but I also knew in my heart that I couldn't. Mm-hmm. There was no way. I had finally really discovered my truth in the deepest sense of the way. And that would have been even more painful for her to daily have to deal with my comings and goings, or however we would have worked it out. I just knew it wouldn't work. And because we had children, I wanted a clean break where I could go, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm a gay dad and I'll figure this out. That needed to be very clean for me. And I couldn't see my way through it. Other people have made it work. I've had other people make it work for 3-4 years. And then they finally do make the clean break and go, no, that's not going to work either. So I think the ultimate message is that Rebecca and I are really trying to send here is find what works.
Yeah.
Find what works for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just one more thing about the couples therapy. You know, a lot of times people think, I actually like calling it conjoint therapy. I mean, you know, my mm-hmm. husband and I started in couples therapy. We stayed and had more sessions to unravel the marriage, to become friends. We both wanted to, I still loved him. I knew I had to love him in a different way. And how do I do that? And so we stayed in couples therapy while both getting individual therapy. And I think that my personal experience, that was the most valuable piece for me.
Mm-hmm. And I think generationally speaking, there's different things that happen too. So, and you know, a lot of my clients come to me, they've been, I mean, if I looked at my clients right now, most of them have been in marriages 20, I think the least amount I have right now is 15 years, mm-hmm. on up to 29 years. There's a lot of longevity there. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. depending on how the family is formulated, and more times than I want to even count, it's been the wife has been a stay-at-home mother and then become the stay-at-home wife after the kids empty nested. And she's been the person who's been kind of the social person. And suddenly when this happens, she doesn't know who she is at all, because there's been nothing that she got to go build her life other than mother and wife.
Right.
And those are the really, really painful, difficult ones, because now suddenly, yes, both have to go find their path in the world. But when your couplehood has become your identity and that's who you know yourself to be, it's really sad and it's really painful. Those have to be worked through. And that's definitely why say, go see a therapist. Those are the tougher things. Yeah. I can help move you forward, you know, and I've done a few couples things, but it's really better to have a conjoint therapist where you can actually like, okay, let's talk about what's really needs to go on for each of you and let each of you kind of contribute to that, rather than, well, one's working over here and one's over here. And I advocate that too. You each have your own therapist. Then you have a couples therapist that you can work with as well.
Yeah. And like you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, anything long-term, but, and especially if you have kids, kind of some ongoing sessions, just little check-ins about, you know, now co-parenting and how that's going to work. It's really valuable. It's really helpful, not just for it, for the entire family, really.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do in the case where somebody just is angry and they just absolutely will not or cannot let go of the anger in long term?
Okay. Yeah. You know, long term, I'm in the room with them with their anger and we talk about that, and that's where they're at. And then we look at how is the anger getting in the way of their life, and is it? Mm-hmm. And you know, in most cases, yeah, they can point to areas that it's interfering in their life. And then we look at what they want different in their life. And really there's this kind of turning point from when the straight spouse finally says, kind of like, when I hear them say something along the lines of like, well, what about me? And that's when I know it's going to switch from anger into moving toward forgiveness.
Yep.
Because if they can start to look at their own piece in all of this, mm-hmm. and if they can start putting their needs kind of first now, it's just a switch that happens.
Mm-hmm. And I tell my guys and gals that are coming out that, you know, one thing that's going to happen is if you're blessed with a spouse who will finally turn the bend and realize when they say, what about me? That's actually a pretty big step right there.
Yep.
They're finally moves from, now there could be the what about me victim that's curled up in the corner in the fetal position. Mm-hmm. And there can be the what about me that finally takes a stand and is like, okay, what am I going to do for me? That's really what they're saying. And you need to be prepared for that because that's going to be probably the new tougher place for you, the one who's just come out, because they're going to finally start standing their ground. But it's also going to be the beautiful place because maybe their anger is going to actually become good. It's going to really help some things move forward. You may not like it, but at the end, you're going to get really clear on where they're actually, their head really is and what they want. Doesn't mean you have to give in. But it does mean you both get to now really work in this place that's much better than, wow, I'm a victim and I can't do anything and you suck and you will always suck. At least when they finally step up, if and they do, which is a very personal thing, and some people won't. And that's their journey. That's where they are. Mm-hmm. So what is the most challenging thing that you so far have found? Because we were just talking about, to me, is one of the most challenging pieces is when a spouse just will not move on. They're going to hold it. They're going to hold the anger. They're going to continue. I have one client right now who he's been out for 3 or 4 years and he checks in with me every so often. And I mean, his spouse is still in the same, now I say she's in the same space. I'm hearing it from him.
So right. His perspective. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So take it from that space.
Yeah.
That's been one of the most challenging pieces in my work is when the spouse is so angry that you can't, you know, get him to move past it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of the way I do my therapy is I work with my clients to establish some goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on when they, in the process, when they come in, if it's initially when they just discovered this or were just told this, you know, obviously the goals are just kind of to cope with the initial shock and kind of get them stable. But then, you know, once that's happened and we set some goals and I help them to start think about, well, what does this mean for you? What do you envision your long-term life to look like with or without your spouse and where they're at? You know, through that, so far, knock on wood, I've been pretty lucky and had spouses who have been able to acknowledge their anger and express their anger in healthy ways and and move past it. You know, and I describe anger as something that can be in a little vial, right? So that lid of that vial can pop off at any time.
Well, of course it can. Even years down the road. I mean, I'm
exactly. Yeah.
I think I'm, I don't know, 18 years into this journey and we're to a place where we're not communicating right now because the vial is popped open right now. Yeah. And that's just the way it is. You know, I'm in a space where I'm like, that's the way it is. Yes, I get angry. I've been angry. Yes, of course I've been angry, but it's coming from a different space. My anger has to do with something completely different than where I know hers is. Hers is bottled up because she never really dealt with this. And so I'm seeing now how much has been harbored in there. And I see that a lot in other people. They hold it in, they hold it in, they hold it in, and suddenly it just roars now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then that's the time to really, you know, go work on it. And I want to make sure as people are listening, this is not saying you have to get past it. You get to choose to get past it. Mm-hmm. Yes. People loosely say, oh, they need to get past it. They have to get past it. Well, that's coming from what we would like to have somebody do. I would love everybody who's gone through this experience to both partners be able to get to a space where they're both thriving and doing well, but nobody has the right to tell you to get past it. Mm-hmm. You may lose some friends. You may lose some people who care about you if you can't get past it, but that's part of your journey then is when you, it's no different than somebody who's spouse has had an affair and has nothing to do with sexual orientation. There are people that harbor that stuff. There's stuff that when a spouse does other things, they harbor it and they carry it forward. So I think what makes this the unique piece is when it's the sexual orientation or, you know, the sexual identity or, you know, gender identity that comes through the doorway that makes these moments a little more unique. So why don't you tell everybody kind of where you are? I know you, you know, as a therapist, you can only do work, so to speak, in your general area, but give them a little bit of an insight so that if anybody's listening that's in the local area here, they know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, sure. My private practice is in Los Angeles. I have two offices in Los Angeles and South Pasadena. I'm online at RebeccaHamesTherapy.com. Mm-hmm.
We will have that link up on the show pages so that anybody who wants to tune in and think about it. And I highly encourage it. I think it's really a beautiful space to go work in. And I know that sounds kind of like, really, Rick, you're going to say a beautiful space, but it is, because in the uncertainty and in the anger and all of that stuff is where you find your next truth, your next way to move through life. I really don't know how people do it, quite honestly, without therapy or coaching. I just don't know how they can have a healthy life without moving through some of this, without those kind of things to help them get through it. So we've been going and going and going, and it's already time to wrap this up. And I think this was the perfect, I know this was the perfect podcast to end the Pride Month with, showing the other side of the closet and talking a little bit about how we do these sort of things. And you've got a beautiful energy, Rebecca, and you've definitely shown your process and how you've come through it. If you could leave anybody with some final words of wisdom and encouragement to help them get through it, what would be one bit of advice you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Yeah. Thanks, Rick. I think my biggest piece of advice for the straight spouse is to get support in any way that that looks right for you, whether it's with family, a therapist, a coach, a friend, a straight spouse network, online, there are support groups. But reach out. This can feel really isolating, really scary. I think a lot of people's instinct is to go into the closet and hide it. But more you talk about it and it becomes a reality for you, the smoother the transition is going to be into whatever the next phase of your relationship will look like. And what kind of really, you know, for the straight spouse, it's kind of figuring out who they are and coming to know themselves. So reach out, get support.
And I'd like to add to that, it's okay to go into the closet. Initially, you're going to want to go into the closet more than likely, because you're going to need room to process. And I hate it when my clients are like, but I want to talk to them about this and this. I'm like, no, got to give them room to be in their closet right now. And the second piece of that being, find the place that serves you best. Not all spaces are going to work for anyone. And trust your own gut instinct. When you find, something that feels right, go with it, because this is now your journey. It's both of your journeys. I agree. It's your kid's journey if there's kids involved. But it's your journey as well. And as Rebecca just said, you get to go find yourself now. And that can be somewhat isolating. It can be kind of scary. And I can tell you that you'll hear this probably from most therapists that would work with you. And I think Rebecca will back me up on about what I'm about to say here is, I would think that 99.99% of the time, you didn't do anything wrong, no matter what you may think. There's the rare cases that I have seen where, wow, the spouse was just like, pushing and, but even then when the spouse was pushing and not, having any intimacy or sex or even being a spouse, there was probably already that, little pebble in the other spouse's shoe going, I know I'm not who I am, but that was the push that needed them to come out of the closet, was the straight spouse being the way they were. But I can tell you, and trust me, there's not one of you out there that did something to make your spouse gay or to do this. It's just part of what happened.
That's right. Yep.
Well, Rebecca, I wanted to say thank you so much for sharing yourself and your story. I have a feeling we will have you back again, because there's probably a whole lot more territory that we can cover as this becomes more and more apparent. I think we're going to see more and more people finally stepping up. The more that we embrace that there are differences in sexuality and that society becomes embracing, I think your practice and my practice could become even more busy than we already are. So I'd love to keep sharing you with the listeners. So thank you so much for coming and being part of the Coming Out Lounge.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
So there you have it, Closet Dwellers and Closet Busters. Another episode of the Coming Out Lounge has just wrapped up. Thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and take in these interviews and my riffs and rants and everything to help hopefully improve your life in some way, shape, or form as you're on your journey coming out to be your most truthful self. And, one of the things that's really important to me is that this podcast gets shared over and over and over again to those who this may be their only way of finding some help and support to get them through these tougher parts of life. So if you could just do a rating and review, that would be super cool. Do it at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us. Just give us a little rating review. And if you feel like sharing, just
especially on iTunes, just hit that little share button and boom, you can share it with whoever you want in a message, an email, however you want to do it. Another thing you might want to do is also go to the Coming Out Lounge website. You'll see a little icon there that says Get Rick's Book, and you'll see my smiling, beautiful face, and give yourself the gift of reading the book. It's kind of humorous. What's more than kind of humorous? It's kind of funny. What's more than kind of funny? It is funny, but it's also really real about your journey coming in and out of the closet, and I would love to share that with you. So go ahead, take advantage of that, and grab a copy of my book. And until next time, we hope you just keep stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. Take care, everyone, and have a good week.